I'm going to talk about what they're doing in heaven today. How many of you know who Tom Bates is? Yeah, he's a Pentecostal evangelist from down in Kentucky, and he gets on his horse and rides to town real fast. But he sings a song, "Wonder What They're Doing in Heaven Today." Well, I've had a chance this week to think a lot about heaven, and I've had an opportunity to wonder what they're doing in heaven today. And I think in looking at the Holy Scriptures, I've discovered what's going on in heaven today. I have to tell you something. Jesus Christ coming out of the grave and walking on His own power, appearing to people and letting them touch Him and handle Him and feed Him and be with Him was the most exciting news that's ever happened. Now, the people that first spread this news were not the most likely crowd to have done it. They were the people who betrayed Him, who denied Him, who ran away from Him and forsook Him. They had been as low as a whale's belly. You've heard it depicted in song here today, how that they hid, how they cowered and locked the doors and shut the windows and were afraid, so afraid that they would be arrested and treated like He had been treated. Peter was rolling in his own agony from having denied the Lord. Judas had hung himself over having betrayed the Lord. And all of them were beating up on themselves for having forsaken Him. But they knew He was dead. There was no doubt He was dead. 3 days before this, they had watched as they rolled the stone to the grave and locked Him in a sealed tomb and set a Roman guard at the door. They knew He was dead before He went in the tomb. They weren't right at the foot of the cross except for John and Mary, the mother of our Lord. But I tell you where they were. They were close enough to see what was going on. They followed afar off. They watched from the back parts of the crowd. They saw the beating. They saw the beard pulled from His face, the crown of thorns on His head. They saw the mock trials and the slapping. They saw the stick beating that He got as well as the one by the cat of nine tails. They saw Him dragging that cross through the street so weak that He could not stand up under the weight of Him. They knew His body was broken and torn. His clothes had been snatched from His body, and His broken body was visible for the world to see. He left not only a trail of tears through Jerusalem, but He left a trail of His blood as He walked toward Calvary. And then they saw that awful crucifixion, one of the most excruciating, horrible deaths that's ever been invented to torture men until they die. They saw Jesus Christ nailed to a cross, feet and hands. They saw Him with the spear in His side at the end when the blood and the water gushed out. They heard Him scream, "My God, My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" They watched Him as He hung on the cross between heaven and earth and pushed Himself up with excruciating pain on His hands and feet in order to get His breath, only to fall down and not be able to breathe again and have to do it again. And up and down the old rugged cross Christ went, trying His best to breathe and trying His best to live. They knew that's all they could talk about. That's all they could think about for 3 days was the horror of it. They had to say in their mind, "But He healed the lepers. But He opened the blind eyes. But He unstopped the deaf ears. He loosed the dumb tongue." They had to say, "But I remember at Lazarus' grave how He called him forth after 4 days. They had to say, "But I was there when He emptied the beer of the widow of Nain's son and set him free. Or when He went into the room and set the little girl up on her feet and set her alive." They had to remember when He stood up on the boat and He commanded the wind and He commanded the waves and they stood still. They had to talk about that. They probably whispered and said, but we were sure that nothing could take him down. We were sure that nothing could be there. They were as low as they possibly could be. And then the rumor started spreading on Sunday morning. The women went to the tomb and they came back and they said, he's not there. Somebody has taken him away. But then they met Mary and she said, but I have seen the Lord. I was coming from the tomb and I was crying and he appeared to me and I hugged him around the feet. I know he's alive. Peter and John, of course, ran to the empty tomb, and John, being younger, ran faster and further than Peter and got down and went in and looked in and discovered it was empty. There was nothing there, just as Bill saying, the shell of the clothes that he had on was there. You know, you have to think about that. They wound that whole body in clothes, and if you think he got up and unwound them, forget it, my friend. He had a glorified body that was impervious to any force of nature. He just got out, and if you think they rolled the stone away to let Jesus out, forget it, my friend. They rolled the stone away so Peter and John and the women could see that he was not there. He had resurrected in a glorified body in a great earthquake, and the ground shook, and the light flashed, and everybody fell to the ground. It was all they could talk about. Everybody talked about it. Jesus is alive. And when they met each other, the first thing they said was, Christ the Lord is risen. And somebody else said, yes, I've seen him. And two came running from Emmaus, and they said, he walked with us as we went to Emmaus. And then he sat down at the table and broke the bread, and we recognized him, and he disappeared. 10 of the disciples said, we were in an upper room, and the doors were shut, and the windows were locked. And suddenly Christ appeared in the middle. He ate honeycomb and fish. He was real. We thought it was a spirit. But he said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And everybody talked about it. As they went through the week, they talked about it. Thomas said, I don't believe it. I wouldn't believe it unless I put my finger in the nail prints or put my hand in the spear place in his side. That's the only way I'd believe it. And the next Lord's Day, on Sunday evening, they were in the same room, in the same place, and under the same circumstances, and suddenly the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected in his glorious body appeared in the midst, and without saying a word to anybody else, walked over to Thomas, and I'm sure everybody went, ah. But he walked over to Thomas and said, Thomas, put your finger in the nail prints. And he pulled his robe aside and said, look, Thomas, put your finger in the place where the spear was. And Thomas collapsed on the floor in front of Jesus Christ, where we all ought to be, and said, my Lord and my God. The word spread up and down Judea and Galilee and all over the country. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. It's the most wonderful thing. In fact, is at one time in Galilee, there were 500 of the brethren gathered together at once, and Jesus appeared before them all. At one time, he appeared on the seacoast and cooked breakfast for them and made bread and fried fish for breakfast so that they could have a breakfast that he cooked. My friend, he was not a phantom. He was not a spirit. The same Jesus that hung on the cross was the same Jesus that resurrected on the third day. And the prints of the nails were still in his hands and his feet and his spear print in his side. The places were in his head where the crown of thorns had been. And they recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ himself had resurrected from the dead. It's all they could talk about. It's all they talked about next week. And that's all they talked about next month. And it's all they were talking about next year after the Holy Spirit had come as he had promised. And it's all they were talking about 5 years later and 10 years later and 20 years later. And yes, we read in the Revelation, that's all they were talking about 50 and 60 years later. They were talking about, I saw him. I was there. I was one of them. John said, we handled him with our hands. We touched him with our hands. We saw him with our eyes. Our Lord resurrected from the dead, and we saw him and we knew him. And what a glorious thing. That's all they could talk about. That's all they thought about the rest of their life. Jesus Christ is alive. And you know what he said? Because I live, you shall live also. And their hope of the resurrection was intact.
Death's shackles had been broken. Satan's stronghold on man had been taken away. And man now had the opportunity to know that he could live and could live forever. You know what? I've been thinking. In my mind, I see Mother in the nursing home. I hear her little weak voice. I hear the things she said. And I think, this is Mother's first Easter in heaven. If you'll notice, I dedicated the thing today to several people who are having their first Easter in heaven. From this congregation, there's a whole line of people who today are having their first Easter in heaven. And I had to think, wonder what they're doing in heaven today. Well, they're not having an egg hunt. I can tell you that. And I noticed people as I came across the county today, there were any number of people that seemed not to be aware at all that it was Easter. They were doing the same things they always do. They were buying their Sunday morning beer. They were smoking their Sunday morning cigarettes. They were doing their Sunday morning jokes. They were mowing their Sunday morning yards. They were not aware that Christ had risen. They were not giving him glory. They were doing none of those things in heaven. I can tell you in heaven, my friend, they have Easter every day. In fact, as I can tell you in heaven, they never have night because it's the city where the Lamb is the light. I can tell you it's a place that never has night or never has darkness or never has shadows. The light permeates everything that's in heaven. And I can tell you in heaven, they're having Easter. But I can tell you something. My mother had Easter last Sunday morning in heaven. We have other people who have been having Easter in heaven for some time. Melinda's been having Easter in heaven since October. Brother Watha's been having Easter in heaven. Sister Cleo's been having Easter in heaven. Jimmy Dowdy's been having Easter in heaven. My friend, people have gone to heaven. You say you believe that? I believe that because that's what God's Bible says. The Bible is very clear that to depart is to be with Christ. Where is Christ? Christ is in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God, our Father Almighty, making intercession for us. So if they're with Christ, they're in heaven. And I wonder what they're doing in heaven today. Well, I'll tell you what they're doing. I read it in the book. I looked in the book to see what they were doing. And you know what they're doing? They're taking in the wonders of heaven. They're overwhelmed with the wonder of heaven. There is a wonder in heaven that nobody can get over. Angels are agag at it. Seraphim and cherubim fold their wings and give homage. All over heaven, they're praising and glorifying this wonder that's in heaven. And somebody said, yeah, I know, because the streets are gold. They don't even notice the streets being paved with gold. That's something we would talk about. You say, oh, yeah, and solid pearl gates. I know they're looking at the gates. They haven't even noticed the gates, even as they went through them. You say, oh, yeah, but the walls are jasper. Can you imagine how much that's worth? Solid 1,500-mile-long walls of jasper? Can you imagine what that's worth? They haven't noticed the walls. You say, yeah, but I know each foundation of that city is made out of a precious stone. And some of them are diamonds, and some of them are emeralds, and some of them are topazes. What that must be worth. Nobody cares what it's worth because they don't have any money over there. And they don't have any currency over there. And they don't trade anything over there. They haven't noticed any of that. You say, but it's a wonder. It's a wonder, but it's not the wonder of heaven. You know what the wonder of heaven is? I looked in the book of the Revelation. In fact, as they sang about it earlier in the service, I looked in the book of Revelation. You know what I saw? I saw the throne of God standing there. When John got carried away in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he noticed that there was a door open in heaven. Gardening people tell me if you want people to be interested in your garden, put a wall around it and a door in it and leave it open. They've just got to see what's on the other side of the door. They just have to look through the door. And John looked up and he saw this glorious heaven. And you know what he saw? That somebody had left the door open. Hallelujah! When Jesus ascended from earth to glory, he left the door open so that we could go in and see what's on the inside. And I can tell you, I've got great curiosity and I want to know what they're doing in heaven today. I want to know what's going on the other side of that door. And when John went through the door, he didn't notice that it was made of pearl. It was a long time later before he figured that out. He didn't notice that it was a street of gold or it was a wall of jasper. He didn't notice any of that. He noticed that everything in heaven was focused on the throne, and God was sitting on the throne of His glory in heaven, and all of the angels and seraphim and cherubim, all of the beasts and creatures of heaven were worshiping and glorifying God around the throne. And what was they focused on? In the midst was the Lamb, as it were slain since the foundation of the world. My friend, a human body, a real human being with flesh and bones, for the first time had walked up from earth across the Milky Way and stepped through the glories of heaven and into the throne room of God. He had stood before the throne with His nail-printed hands. It had only been 40 days since the resurrection. By the way, I never read about anybody in heaven wearing shoes. There's nothing to stump your toe on or to bite your foot. All of the people in heaven are pictured, including the Lord Himself, with bare feet. And they're standing before God with His hands at His feet showing, His spear-riven side showing. And you know what? They're all worshiping Him. They're all saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." Somebody has been crying, "Who's going to open the book? Who's going to set the captives free? Who's going to set things free as they should be?" And you know what? The Lamb stepped forward. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb stepped forward with His nail-scarred hand. And He was worthy to take out of the hand of Him that sat on the throne the title deed to humanity's future. And He stood before God and they began to sing. And you say, what did they sing? When they saw the Lamb slain, since before the Bible said the foundation of the world, it was always in God's plan. When they saw the Lamb slain, they began to sing. What did they sing? They sang the song of Moses. What's the song of Moses? You remember when they crossed the Red Sea and the enemy was destroyed? Moses took his tambourine and began to beat, and Miriam took hers and began to beat, and they began to dance on the shores of the Red Sea, and they began to sing the song of deliverance. And then they sing the song of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb because He has prevailed. He has worked. He has done the thing that needs to be done. He was slain for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. And so in heaven, they're having Easter every day. Every day they sing about how great the Lamb is. Every day they sing about His worth. Every day they glorify God for letting His Son die on Calvary's cross and the nail prints in His hands and His feet and the spear print in His side. Every day His name is praised and glorified in heaven. Why? Because Satan lost. Satan, this is a war that had been going on since before the earth was created for man. This is a war that had been going on for eternity. And Satan and his rebellious angels were fighting against God and against His angels. And my friend, this whole thing is being worked out with us human beings. And you know what? Satan lost. The empire of death that has shackled human beings has been broken. Men now can see light and immortality. Suffering and aging and heartache and heartbreak and disease are all in the past. Sin is something that we don't hear about or talk about anymore. The curse has been vanquished. My brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to know that no longer do we suffer the penalty. No longer do we suffer the things of the earth that's cursing us today. No wonder they're singing in heaven. Wonder what they're doing in heaven today? They're singing, "I'm in the city where the Lamb is the light. I've got a mansion over here and it's free from toil and care. And I'm here where the Lamb is the light." They're singing, "I've made it to the land of an unclouded day. I've made it to a land where He wipes tears from their eyes and loves us and is the King all the time. And I'm in a land," they sing, "where we'll never grow old." My mother hated so bad the aging process. She hated so bad that idea, and for a long time she would say, my favorite song is In the Land Where We'll Never Grow Old. Well, my friend, they're over there singing about the place where we'll never grow old. But I can tell you, they're also singing, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glory of His righteousness. They're praising Him and glorifying Him. And every tongue in heaven, angelic and human, is singing one song. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, and my heart proclaims, my God, how great Thou art. That's what they're singing. That's what they're singing. And you say there's no anxiety in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. All of those things, there's one anxiousness in heaven. There is one anxiety in heaven. It's not a worry. It's not a burden, but it's something that concerns them. And you say, what's that? Did you hear the souls under the altars crying out to God? Some of them have been dead for hundreds of years and some for thousands. And you know what they're crying? How long, O Lord, how long? You know what they're singing, Lucille? They're singing, go down, Gabriel, put your foot on the land and sea, and Gabriel, blow your trumpet because you're hearing from me. You know what they're singing? They're only spirits in heaven. Their spirits have gone to heaven. They're waiting for the resurrection. They're waiting for the moment that the command will be given for Gabriel to stand his foot on the land and sea and blow the trumpet of God and for the sound to come out all over the earth. And in an instant, every saved, sanctified person of God is going to come gloriously out of the grave and be reunited with their body and be a living soul again. They're singing, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Hallelujah. My friend, I can tell you this morning what they're doing in heaven. They're having Easter. But they had Easter yesterday and last week and last year. My friend, ever since Jesus walked across the Milky Way and past the constellation Orion and into the throne room of glory, they've been up there having Easter every day. They celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every moment of every day. They never cease to glorify Him for being worthy. The plan of God has succeeded. The plan of God has worked because you see, until that happened, the angels had never seen it. They had never seen, yes, I know about Enoch and Elijah, but they had never seen a redeemed human soul, bodies and all, walk into heaven till Jesus Christ did. And my friend, when He walked in, all of heaven, I think, had to be still for 30 minutes. I don't think they could say a word. I think everybody just looked at Him. And then all of heaven burst loose, singing what we sang this morning. He's alive. He's alive. He was dead. Read the Revelation. What do they talk about? God is our Creator. Christ is our Savior. And He was dead. But behold, He is alive forevermore. And my friend, that's why we have church on Sunday, the first day of the week. Because that's the day that Christ resurrected from the dead. And Christians gathered on that day and weekly celebrated the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Thursday we gathered here and had the squeezed fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. Because we celebrated the shed blood and the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not going to do that in heaven. We're just going to do that till He comes. When He comes, we're going to see Him face to face. We're going to look upon Him who died for us and bore the price of Calvary. And with the saints of all the ages and people of every nation, kindred and tongue, and every racial background, all together are going to lift our voices. Jesus has never seen His whole church together at one time. Some of them has always been in heaven, some on earth, and some under the earth, and some yet to be born. But in that day, every Christian that ever lived, and every saint of God from Old Testament times that ever was, will be standing before the throne of God. And you know what's going to happen? Every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God our Father Almighty. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, we're going to sing. We're going to pray for those who need prayer. And we're going to invite you to have a glorious, wonderful Easter. You couldn't have started it better than we've done here this morning. And I invite you with your family and with your friends, with your neighbors and wherever you go, to celebrate Jesus Christ who is alive. And I would invite you this week, every day that you live, celebrate Easter. And every Sunday, celebrate Easter. And every moment of your life, celebrate the resurrected, glorified Son of God who is alive forevermore and will never, ever die again. And because He lives, hey, Eddie Kendall, it's going to live again. I'm going to live forever because Jesus said so. Oh, you may roll me in here and have my funeral, but don't you believe for one minute that I'm dead. Just my body. My spirit is with Him. And one day, hallelujah, I will have my body resurrected and my spirit reunited with it. And what glorious times, never to end, never to be night, never to be sorrow again. Father, I cannot tell you how much I thank you. I cannot offer you to you praise and glory enough for all of your blessings unto us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, for his perfect life, for his death on Calvary, for his glorious resurrection, and for the promise that he's coming again. Father, bless this congregation and these people. Let your Holy Spirit touch and move, and the glory of God be present to bless. Father, I give you praise and honor and glory, for you are worthy to receive it. Holy Lamb of God, I praise your name for being worthy and offering yourself on Calvary's hill. Bless these people that the message of Easter will go with them today. We ask it in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Thank you.
Aren't you glad that our religion's not just about sometime, someplace, somewhere? Aren't you glad that God's real right here and right now? We're praying about things that are going on in people's lives and in their homes and in their hearts. And I wouldn't want to drive up the road without knowing that Jesus was my Savior and without knowing the Holy Ghost was in my life. And I challenge you today, if you don't know the Lord, come to know Him. He loves you. He died for you. He wants you to be saved. We're going to let you go to your family, and I pray you'll have a great day celebrating Jesus with your loved ones. Father, we pray the Holy Ghost will go with this church family, watch over them and keep them and bless them, and let your Spirit give them grace today and every day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.